Welcome to the Capital Connection, a weekly program questioning New York State leaders on a variety of issues. Your host is Dr. Alan Chartok, political scientist and professor emeritus at the University at Albany. Distribution for the Capital Connection is made possible with the help of New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org.
It's the Capital Connection. Hi, I'm Alan Chartok. Joining us this week is one of the best chroniclers of the quality of life in our area, Chris Churchill, a columnist for the Albany Times Union, whose columns are published on Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Sundays. Welcome, Chris Churchill.
Hello. Glad to be here.
When you have to come up with column ideas, you know, I write a weekly column, too. In fact, I write two of them. Is it difficult for you to think up what you're going to write on?
Sometimes.
Yeah,
sometimes it is. I mean, it just depends. There are weeks where you're overflowing, and then there are weeks where the cupboard is dry or bare, and you're scrounging, you know. But for the most part, there's a pretty good supply of news out there.
Yeah, I like to think in the middle of the night, I like to think of what I'm going to write on. And then it seems so perfectly reasonable. I wake up in the morning, I've forgotten what I was going to write.
You got to jot it down in the middle of the night.
Yeah, but that day, then you're up. Okay, yeah. So Chris Churchill, let's talk about a whole bunch of stuff.
Sure.
What happened in the New York State Legislature? What a mess.
Yeah, what a mess. No way to run a state, right?
You got a better way?
Well, other states seem to do a little better, don't they? I mean, does it have to be this last-minute scramble every single time, every single year? We see it at the time of the budget, and we see it at the end of the legislative session, like we did this week, and it just seems like there has to be a more organized way or a better way. But this is New York. This is the way it's been for a very long time.
You know, into all of this comes an ancillary question, which is the Constitutional Convention. Now, I've lived through several, mm-hmm. and I'm opposed to constitutional conventions up the way they've been done up to now, because the same guys who are mucking up the legislature muck up the Constitutional Convention. They get their own people elected, they do this and that. But this year, for some reason, both leaders of both houses of the legislature don't want a constitutional convention.
And that makes you want one?
Well, yes, because I think there are two things. I don't care what they want to talk about, but there are two things I think ought to happen in New York State. One of them, my political science colleagues hate, and that's term limits. Mm-hmm. Because I think, you know, these guys take advantage, and they all get reelected, and they get all the money and the rest of it. So I'm for term limits, and so are the people, by the way.
How long would you limit them to?
8 years. Mm-hmm. 8 years sounds fair to me. Mm-hmm. That's what Chris Gibson, the departing congressman, he didn't serve 8 years, but he said that that's what he was putting on to himself.
Right.
And the other thing I think would be great in New York State, which would kill these guys, is initiative and referendum, so that if we decided we wanted to do term limits or we wanted to do anything else as a people, mm-hmm. We could get enough signatures, make it a lot, put it on the ballot, and vote for it. Other states have it.
Yeah, they're... Massachusetts has it.
Yeah,
California has it. I mean, it can be a mess. That can be messy too.
It can.
But it would be kind of empowering, wouldn't it, if the people could kind of take over a little bit and make some of these decisions on their own?
Yeah. So they go home now, and they say the people's business is undone and we're not going to do it. Too bad. It seems to me that there's something awful about that.
The problem in New York, though, I've always said, is that people just don't pay enough attention to what happens in Albany, right? Especially the people, and I don't want to blame our friends downstate, but, you know, New York City does not look to Albany for its daily source of entertainment and news and information, you know? They don't really pay that close of attention to what's happening here, but that they keep sending the same people back time and time again.
No, you know, you're absolutely right. Yeah. And in my first sabbatical at SUNY, I decided I was going to solve all of that.
Yeah.
So I went to the then Speaker of the New York State Legislature, Stanley Steingut, and I said, Stanley, we've got to put you guys on television. And he said, I'll never forget it. But who would pay for it?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, who would watch, too?
And that turns out to be prophetic, what you just said. because it is on TV now. And of course, most of what goes on in the legislature is not decided on the floor of the legislature.
Right, that's the thing. There's nothing to see. Even if you go there and watch, it's just a bunch of people sitting around, right? All the big decisions are made behind closed doors. And you're never going to get a camera in there.
Into the committee meetings. Exactly right. And yeah. If you got a camera into the committee meetings, they'd find out a way to do it in the men's room.
Right. Or the three men in the room, you know. They make a lot of, that's where a lot of decisions are made, too.
So. It's true. I was very interested that the Senate, while it wasn't doing anything, did something fascinating this last week. On the way out the door, they voted to make the Tappan Zee Bridge, the Mario Cuomo Bridge.
Yeah.
Now, they're Republicans, and they don't like Andrew Cuomo. That's clear. So do you have any hypotheses about why they did that?
You know, that was an odd thing. And to me, it was... I don't know what you thought about it, but to me, it was a little tacky, a little tasteless. These guys couldn't vote or wouldn't vote on the Child Victims Act, which is something that people have been beating the drum around here for a long, long time about.
Which is doing what?
It's extending the statute of limitations for sexually abused kids, so that when they're 25, say, they can report what happened. And it can be a criminal offense.
So why in the
world? So we have one of the shortest windows for reporting it of any state in the country.
What in the world would stop them from doing it?
That's a good question. I mean, there are big opponents of it. The Catholic Church is a big opponent. The Boy Scouts, groups like that, are oppose it. But most states have done this, and. It's something that there seems to be bipartisan support for, but the Senate didn't even take a vote on it.
So,
but yet they didn't do that. They couldn't find it in their hearts to do that. But you know, they're going to vote on renaming the Tappan Zee.
But why for the Democrat Mario Cuomo? That's what got me.
Well,
there's a theory, by the way, out there, Chris, that I was talking to a top friend of Andrew Cuomo's the other day. I mean, a really top friend, and who said to me, he's got an unhealthy sort of competitiveness as well as adoration for his father, and maybe they were sticking it to him.
Mm-hmm.
The Senate, the Assembly went home without doing the same thing.
Yeah, no, I think that they're Republicans, but they're not an opposition party for Andrew Cuomo. You know, I mean, they pretty much work with him and go along with it. He's had more trouble with Democrats in recent years than he has with the Republicans. So I
couldn't agree with you more. Yeah. And from the very beginning, he has been basically enabling the Republicans to control the Senate. I say that because he's got, you know, the so-called traitors or the folks who, the IDC, who have made comments. These are Democrats who have left the Democratic Party, position themselves as progressive Democrats, mm-hmm. and yet have made common cause with the Republicans. And Cuomo, it seems to me, at any moment could have called them in and said, you get back where you belong, mm-hmm. or I'm going to make sure you get a primary.
Right, right. And I think, you know, and to go back to the Child Victims Act, I think Cuomo could have pushed a vote on that if he'd really wanted to. You know, he supports it. He came out in support of it this year.
I would only correct you and say he says he supports it.
Right, right. But how much muscle is there behind that support? Or how much? Yeah, and there didn't seem to be any. And on the bridge, I believe that was submitted at the request of the governor. So I mean, it wasn't something I don't think it was something the Republicans were doing to kind of tweak him.
But they don't give him a lot of what he wants, and they still so. You know, you can say we're doing it because the governor asked us to,
mm-hmm.
but I don't really know. I mean, is there something unseemly about naming the bridge for the Cuomos?
I think there is, yeah, especially when there's a Cuomo, because it'll be the Cuomo Bridge, right?
Yeah.
I mean, people won't remember necessarily that it's the Mario Cuomo Bridge or the Andrew Cuomo Bridge. It'll just be the Cuomo Bridge. And, you know, Cuomo, the current Cuomo, wants credit for getting it built. And, you know, there's nothing. Mario Cuomo is obviously a big figure in this state, and there's nothing necessarily wrong with naming infrastructure after him. But it'd be nice if it wasn't done by somebody named Cuomo.
I know, I knew Mario Cuomo very well. We had a radio show for many, many years on all the public radio stations in the state. In fact, this was once me and Mario, before that, the Capital Connection.
Mm-hmm.
He was a guy who didn't want things named after him.
Right.
I think he had a
always heard that, yeah.
I think he had a profound sense of, you know, that kind of stuff was wrong. He really was a follower of some outstanding Catholic theoreticians, and he didn't like that part of the politics.
Well, it does. I mean, it's politicians naming things after politicians most of the time, right? I mean, there are so many private citizens out there who are doing wonderful things who deserve to have things named after them. But you look around this town, everything's named after a politician. You know, that's not right.
You're talking about Albany now.
I mean, you can't throw a rock without hitting something named after some governor or some mayor or some, you know.
So, Chris Churchill, do you have any idea about how to get people to pay attention to Albany? You know, I've devoted my life to it, talking about, establishing a newspaper about it and doing these shows. But it's very frustrating. And I'm wondering, should the Capitol be moved out of Albany and into New York City? Because after all, that's where the governor spends most of his time.
You're trying to get me in trouble.
Yeah.
No, I don't think so. There is an argument for that, I suppose. I mean, you live in Massachusetts, right?
I do.
The Capitol's in Boston, which is the center of population. And I think that people do pay more attention to state politics there than they do in New York. On the other hand, you know, this is a very big state, and Buffalo's 5 hours from Albany as it is. Albany isn't exactly a centralized location, but, you know, it's not.
Now, there's an idea. Maybe what we ought to do is move the Capitol to Buffalo. So you look a lot.
This area would just wither away without the state capital too. You know, it would not be a good thing for the Albany economy.
I once had Jerry Jennings, the former mayor of Albany, read a column of mine in which I suggested just this. He wasn't happy to put
it on. I'm sure. It's just funny because the mayors of Albany love to complain about state government and all the state government buildings who don't pay taxes and all the people who come in to work in those buildings who, you know. They neglect to mention most of the time that the city would be Utica without state government, without all these people commuting in every day.
I've often thought of Albany as sort of a Hudson River-like estuary. As you know, the salt water comes up the Hudson, and then it goes out the Hudson, see?
Ebbs and flows,
yeah. And I always thought Albany is the same way, where the legislature comes in and goes out. But a good deal of, and by the way, Albanians are properly angry about this. A good deal of the city is dependent on the legislature, the restaurants and the rest of the things, and they're not here that much, as you know.
Yeah, well, the ebb and flow analogy is pretty good. I mean, today you could go downtown and find parking pretty easily. You know, when the legislature's in session, that's not necessarily the case. Yeah, but it's a city that lives and breathes with state government, for better and for worse sometimes, too.
Well, Chris Churchill, you are a superb columnist, so I wanted to ask you this, because we see this a lot. There really aren't very many good schools in which people are taught how to be public relations people for legislators and governors.
Yeah.
It's usually done by cherry-picking the good guys who are making, you know, not that great money working for newspapers and television stations, and then they go over to what we call the dark side. Would you ever consider going over to the dark side and making a lot more money?
I don't know. I mean, that would be a tough thing to do.
What if the money were right? What if they said, okay, we'll triple your salary?
I don't know. I mean, you know, I have such a good job right now doing what I'm doing that it's really hard for me to imagine doing that. But
a lot of people do.
A lot of journalists say, I'll never do it. And then they do it. So never say never, but I can't imagine it.
Okay. So
what about you?
I'm so old now that the opportunities would never be there. I've really earned a fair living.
Uh-huh.
And I would have never done it. I started, by the way, by being a consultant for Senator Manfred Orenstein in the New York State Senate, who was the Senate Minority Leader. And I was a professor all my life, and I did that. And frankly, it allowed me to cobble together a living, what with my wife, a school teacher, and two kids. So you can see where the temptations come. But at some point, I'll be honest with you, I like the man a lot, but I held my nose and I said, I can't do this. I just don't like the smell of the whole place. Mm-hmm. And I left.
And those jobs have gotten a lot worse, too. There was a point, even in recent memory, where those jobs were about providing information to the press and to the public. More and more, those jobs are about, you know, keeping information from the press and the public. And a lot of those PR people are under intense pressure. And those jobs are not, they're not maybe the place to go if you want a happy life.
One of the things that the legislature did not come to an agreement about was Mayor Bill de Blasio's control of the New York City schools. Mm-hmm. Bloomberg got that done, and apparently education did improve somewhat in New York. And now, because de Blasio ticked off the Republicans by trying to get Democrats elected and to take the Senate chamber, they're getting even. We have retribution politics here.
Well, and also the governor, too. All right, the governor. We've talked before about the tensions between the governor and the mayor, and I think that that's probably part of this, too, don't you?
Yeah, I do. But the question I have for you, Chris Churchill, is who's right and who's wrong, the governor or the mayor in their histrionic fight with each other?
I'm always, this is just my own personal bias, I'm always tempted to take the side of whoever's fighting with the governor.
Yeah, me
you
too.
Know, I just, he tends to be a bit of a bully. He tends to, he tends not to be a generous person. And I think that, you know, for the most, usually he's to blame with these kind of things. But in this case, who knows? Who knows what happened behind the scenes?
You know, I wrote a column not that long ago in which I compared Donald Trump's style of governance with the governor's style of governance.
Yeah, I'm sure you love that one.
And I said, no, they didn't like it. I couldn't understand why. And, you know, they tweeted me out and all the rest of it. Uh-huh. But you take almost joy when a politician comes after you. You had a column that I read today that was excellent, in which this guy had really ranked you out. Who was it?
It was a mayor of Cohoes, New York.
Yeah, and he ranked you out, and he said all kinds of bad things about you. And with great joy, that's how you started your column.
Yeah. Well, you know, you have to have thick skin, and then, you know, it comes with the territory.
But columnists are different from reporters. It's almost as if a reporter becomes unshackled when you become a columnist.
Well, the whole idea of being a columnist is that you can kind of tell a little bit more of what's really going on, right? You can pull back the curtain a little bit.
Absolutely. In fact, some people say Saturday Night Live, more people get their news from Saturday Night Live than they do from the news.
Yeah.
But some people have suggested, well, yeah, because Saturday Night Live tells it like it is, and the news people are saying, he said, she said.
Yeah, yeah. Well, there may be some truth to that.
Yeah. Then another thing that happened in the state, which was fascinating, is that there's a question as to whether they can charge sales taxes and things in the various counties, and they didn't finish it. They didn't redo that one.
Yeah,
that's a disgrace. And
well, they can't leave that for very long. I mean, the county, everybody depends on the counties depend on that money. You know, I mean, that is crazy. I don't know what the holdup was with that.
Well, here's the problem.
It's a bad way to, like we said at the start of this conversation, it's a bad way to run a state, right? This is not an effective form of government.
Yeah, well, it's one versus the other, you know. Okay, first you have to give me my charter schools, then I'll give you your tax, or I'll give you your mayoral control.
Yeah.
So that it's all sort of very personal and animus-driven.
Right. And it's all just kind of just, you know, procrastinate, 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 and then try to do everything in a flurry in the last few minutes. And, you know, as you may remember from your college days, that doesn't result in the high-quality work, you know?
No, it doesn't.
I read a lot of papers that way.
Yeah, so did I. Yeah. And there was always that moment, as I'm sure there is in the legislature, when you're done with the paper and the sun is coming up over the apartment buildings and you're sitting there and you say, oh, good, I got it done. And then you remember the bibliography.
Yeah.
And the bibliography takes longer than the rest of it.
Yeah, that's right.
That's quite right. And I think that kind of thing goes on here, too. But there is such anger between the players here that it's really not very attractive.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a good answer. Yeah.
Yeah. I can't disagree with that. Yeah, this is, you know.
Okay, so now we have the governor, Andrew Cuomo, with high approval ratings.
Mm-hmm.
You and I know he's a bully, but people apparently don't.
No.
He's getting high grades, and he's running for president.
Yep.
And anybody tells you he's not running for president, tell them to stick their head in a sewer and take a good whiff.
Yeah. Oh, he's definitely. I don't think there's any doubt about that. Everything that he's doing seems to be kind of gearing up for that, don't you think?
Yeah, I do.
I mean, free college tuition, yada, yada. Yeah.
And free college tuition. And your very paper this morning had a very interesting story that while he's offered free college tuition for people who obey a specific set of rules, it's costing more to go to SUNY.
I know.
Surprise.
It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. But he tends to govern by press release and headline and TV commercial, and I think that's what that free college tuition was about, right? It's going to look great in the presidential campaign, and people in Iowa and New Hampshire aren't going to necessarily know all the details.
The Republicans seem to be lying down and playing dead when it comes to this election. I keep hearing from my sources that they're going to nominate, you know, a WHO, that's WHO-HE? To run against Cuomo again. He's got something like $27 million. I read, in his account, and they've got nothing. Is there sort of a complicit agreement here that we're not going to really contest this election?
I don't know why there would be. The guy that I was hoping would run was the guy you mentioned earlier, which was Chris Gibson, the congressman who was taking a job teaching at Williams College. He was gearing up for a run, and for whatever reason, he's never really said exactly, decided against it. Maybe he just looked at the tea leaves and figured out there was no way to beat Cuomo, or maybe it was a money. You know, he just looked at the war chest thing and figured, I can't raise that kind of money, but...
I think the Republicans made it quite clear to him when he went around and talked to all the chairman, everybody, they didn't want him.
Yeah, you think so? Yeah.
I know so. Yeah. So, and he would have been an ideal candidate. Look, Pataki beat Cuomo, Cuomo Sr.
Yeah.
And everybody thought he was a hoo-he. I did, certainly.
Chris Gibson has the kind of resume that could make him a presidential candidate. And if he ever did become governor of the state, he'd be talked about as a presidential candidate almost immediately.
I think you're absolutely right. Yeah. Well, anyway, it's great to talk to my buddy Chris Churchill, a columnist for the Albany Times Union, who publishes a lot of columns, has to do a lot of thinking. Chris, it's always a great pleasure to have you here. It's a little different from, you know, grilling a politician, but I love your sort of quiet, sedate way of doing things.
Thanks a lot.
I appreciate it.
Are we done? Is that it?
That's it. We're out of time. Our guest has been a great guest. Chris Churchill, a columnist for the Albany Times Union, whose columns are published on Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Sundays. You can get them no matter where in New York State you are. Get them online by going to timesunion.com. Again, Chris, thanks for being here.
Yeah.
Capital Connection is distributed with the cooperation of the public radio stations of New York State. David Gastina is the producer of The Capital Connection, a production of WAMC Northeast Public Radio in Albany. Support for The Capital Connection comes from New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org.